Instead of focusing on winning arguments, we're teaching the basic fundamentals of sales and marketing and how we can use them to win in the world of politics, teaching you how to meet people where they're at on the issues they care about. Welcome to The Brian Nichols Show. Happy Thursday there, folks. Brian Nichols here on The Brian Nichols Show. Thank you for joining us on, of course, another fun-filled episode. Today, we are going to have a returning guest who is running for the Board of Supervisors, we'll get that right, over in Kern County. But before we get there, we're going to go ahead and talk about today's sponsor, the Expat Money Summit 2022. Head to BrianNicholsShow.com/expat, where you can sign up for this free virtual summit November 7th through November 11th. 5 days, 30 expert speakers. Watch for a week. Reap the benefits for generations. Join us. And yes, our friend Mikkel Thorup from the Expat Money Show and the Expat Summit. And you'll be able to check out the Expat Money Summit 2022 at BrianNicholsShow.com/expat. Folks, today on the program, yeah, as long as I can get the word out right, for Kern County Board of Supervisors District 2, returning to the program, Kelly Carden. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brian, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me on.
It's going good, my man. You are absolutely crushing it out in Kern County, and you're running for Board of Supervisors. But, Kelly, before we dig into all the amazing things you're doing out there with, yes, that big, do you have the big L behind your name? I forget.
I do have an L. I mean, it's a nonpartisan race, but everyone's reporting me openly as a libertarian. Like, I make them talk about it. You know, it's not just about building myself as a candidate. It's about growing the our party, you know, making sure that people are noticing our party, know that it's alive and doing well and that it is growing and gaining attention. I mean, man, the support that I'm seeing is completely across the political spectrum. At one point I was at a car show over the weekend. I had two Democrats and a guy who was like pure libertarian and a Republican. And I was talking to all of them about the same issue with the same kind of response. And they all were like, yeah, we're voting for you.
Well, there you go, because you're speaking to what we're going to talk about today. That is, and the audience can say it along with me, meeting people on the issues they care about, right? Meet people where they're at. Come on, let's do it, folks. And this is something that we've talked about in the past, and we're going to dig into this today, Kelly. But let's quickly, before we dig into what you're discussing with the voters, let's have a chance for you to reintroduce yourself to the audience and, of course, to the new members here of the audience of The Brian Nichols Show.
Yeah, Brian. So thanks for that again. My name is Kelly Carden. I've lived in Kern County, California since I was 9 months old in 1986. I'm actually a third generation Kern County resident. I decided to run for office when everything got really expensive in the middle of the pandemic. And I figured that was a good place to start, right? I got quoted in the paper. People started messaging me just the issues. You know, hey, Kelly, nobody else is, you know, taking care of listening to us or taking care of us. So why don't you? And I got hooked up with the Libertarian Party and I decided to run for office. Matthew Butts actually helped me kind of focus on an office that I wanted to run for. And we picked the Board of Supervisors. And after talking to my neighbors, we realized that it was kind of ripe for the picking, that there's the incumbent who has been there for 12 years, has a lot of negative name recognition right now across the political spectrum. And we said, hey, let's go for it, you know, and we've been running a grassroots campaign. I mean, like old school, like I've played a lot of bingo and I've eaten a lot of dinner with seniors. I've been at car shows and fairs and craft fairs, and I've had a booth where people can just sit and talk with me and just hearing what they have to say and being able to meet people where they are, like you said, and seeing that, okay, they're so tired of what's been, why not try something different? And so it's been pretty cool, just a cool experience over the last year. I've spoken, I don't know, anywhere from 75 to 100 times at different events. I mean, it's been pretty cool. And just a couple weeks ago, we actually had a debate that was aired on NBC. And it was myself and two Republican opponents. And it was awesome. I mean, it was such a good time that the incumbent hasn't shared the debate on his own social media.
You that's how you know it's good, when the guy that's the incumbent won't even share it. Wow, that's fantastic. Good work, Kelly.
We've actually had people post it onto his comments and like into his own posts, and they get removed. It's pretty
get out of here. He's that embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
No kidding. Oh, by the way, that's fantastic marketing. Good work there.
Yeah, it's great, man.
It's wild. Well, Kelly, let's now talk about your running for Kern County Board of Supervisors, and specifically the why, right? Now you mentioned the why in terms of people reaching out to you saying, hey, we need somebody to be an alternative to what has been, really, in this case, a establishment, just individual completely isolated from reality. I think we've seen this across the board, especially the past 2 years here with the pandemic. Those individuals who are making the laws and have to live in their own little world, whereas, you know, the real folks out here, we have to live with the laws that they're creating. But let's go towards those specific issues that you're going to be tackling head on. And I know just by a quick glance at your website that, and you kind of mentioned it a little bit here already, and that is, number one, term limits. Talk to me about why term limits is such an important issue to you and why it's made the top of your website as one of your most focused issues in your race there for Kern County Board of Supervisors.
So strangely enough, I don't typically support term limits. I think they're kind of, I don't think they work all the time. The reason why is because if you follow the money, you're just changing the driver, but the seat's owned by the same company, right? But in Kern County, we actually have really good finance or campaign finance laws to make it pretty hard to raise money. You're only allowed to raise $500 from any individual entity, you know, and it's a little bit more challenging to game the system. Mm. So that's part of why I do support. So I've always said I would support term limits if you did this with the campaign finance. They did that. So I'm just going to support term limits. The other reason is, our board of supervisors, every single one of them, well, I take that back. Four of the five members of the board of supervisors. Holy cow. I gotta say that. they would actually be term limited out right now. I mean, so I think the disconnect is very real. I think that the lack of turnover has made them almost obsolete in the way that they interact with the general public. As far as it's just very, if you're connected, you can get heard. If you're not, you don't. So that's why I supported term limits. And then also it ended up on the ballot. So just by chance, I had already talked about it. And then an organization actually got enough signatures to qualify it to be on the ballot. So I said, hey, if it's going to win, I might as well back it, right? So there's a little bit of good marketing, you know, but it is a huge issue.
Yeah, well, and I've seen it. I know we've all seen it in... not just local, right, races, but like, let's just look at the macro. Look at the federal level, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, all those freaking dinosaurs. Like, the fact that they have been in office for, in this case, decades. I mean, good God, Joe Biden literally was in office when he was 29 years old. What? Like, and now he's president of the United States, and he's like, what, 80 some odd years old, somewhere in there. It's insane.
That's like as long as you and I have been alive combined.
And yet these elected officials think that they have the pulse of the average person, Kelly.
Yeah. So like here locally, in the debate, I had a lot of opportunities to really highlight some of those really just out of touch moments that my incumbent has. And he kept saying, you know, he wrote in his reelection letter, his reelection announcement, that he will continue to provide first class public safety services to the residents of my district. But my district suffers from like 90 minute response times.
Wow.
So, but his town where he lives, and he would live in what I would consider to be the safest zip code in our entire county. So his reality is that he has first class public safety services. He's just passed it off to the rest of us as if it was our reality. And that's what happens when you have these guys who've made a career out of this. This guy's been in office for 18 years now between city council and between the board of supervisors. That's a career, man. Like, you're so far detached anymore, you can't possibly know what's going on.
So let's talk about some of the main issues that Kern County is experiencing right now. Now, we talked about last time, I think one of the main issues everybody was experiencing was the COVID-19 pandemic and the ensuing lockdowns and government mandates and all the restrictions, all that fun stuff that we got to experience And then, frankly, why I and I know millions of others have moved out of blue cities and blue states for that very reason. But let's go to some of the other issues that are out there that are impacting specifically the area you call home, Kern County. And I know one of the areas that you're focusing on is the water issue and how not only is there a big water issue, but Kelly, a lot of the problem is actually due to government policy or government inaction. No.
Yeah, so it absolutely is. It's a man-made crisis. It's not a man-made drought. Like, it's obvious that there's less rain coming out of the sky. But in the month of March, the California government allowed enough water to escape under the Golden Gate Bridge that would have filled Mount Shasta to its capacity.
Wow.
I mean, so they're letting out 100 times more than what's necessary. So the way that we make that local is by focusing on conservation, of course, and making it a governmental issue where we're focusing on it and our footprints, right? I'm so tired of driving down the street and watching the county maintained sprinklers just spray into the air. And it's literally everywhere, in every town, anywhere. But they want to tell us that we have to take our grass out because we're wasting water. You know, well, no, actually. The people you're wasting water and you're wasting the money that we're giving you to pay for the water. So stop wasting the water so you stop wasting our money. It's fiscally responsible. But then as far as the state issue is, we have to build a coalition of other counties that are willing to go head on at the governor over this issue. You know, so building a single issue coalition of, you know, 40 of the 58 counties and going and saying, hey, Governor Newsom, you have to stop this practice of allowing too much water to flow out of the state. It's well beyond the minimum, and anything beyond the minimum is a waste. So that's how we attack the water issues, but by locally making it a conservation issue and building coalitions amongst the other counties and other elected officials in the state, and then making it a state issue then by going to them and saying, you're going to do this.
Yeah, well, and frankly, I mean, it becomes it becomes like a continuity issue, right? Like, and I talk about this all the time when I'm meeting with like CIOs and IT directors. They're planning their business continuity plans, and you want to know like what are the worst case scenarios and what can you do to avoid those, right?
Yeah.
And that is something I think we're seeing right now, where a lot of the problems that we've ultimately had government really cause have been completely neglected and then exacerbated upon. And that, I think, right there is why so many people are waking up and starting to stand up and fight back. Now, before we go to some of the other issues, Kelly, we want to go ahead and talk about an important issue, and that is cybersecurity. I know cybersecurity, it's across the board. It's my day job. And the number one way people are getting hit right now, phishing. Let's go ahead and learn a little bit more.
You're not gonna believe this. As cyber attacks have continued to skyrocket, phishing attacks rank as the second most expensive causes of data breaches. According to IBM, phishing attacks cost businesses an average of $4.65 million. And business email compromises, BECs, which is a type of phishing where attackers hijack or spoof a legitimate corporate email account, ranks at number one, costing businesses an average of $5.01 million per breach. But that's not the only way phishing can lead to a costly breach. Attacks using compromised credentials were ranked as the fifth most costly cause of a data breach, averaging at $4.37 million. And how do credentials get compromised? More often than not, due to phishing. While your employees can be your company's most valuable asset, they can also be the biggest target for cyber criminals. Head to briannicholsshow.com/phishing to hop on a call with me, where I'll show how we can use customized targeted phishing campaigns that simulate real-world phishing attacks, and then take those simulated threats and use them as training opportunities to help you understand your organization's real-life risks. Again, that's BrianNicholsShow.com/phishing. Don't let phishing attacks cripple your business. One more time, BrianNicholsShow.com/phishing.
It helps if I unmute myself. No, true story. I actually saw a story today. I actually heard firsthand a story today from one of my prospects about a sophisticated phishing attack from one of their old jobs that turned into a ransomware attack. $600,000 per day they're losing from a ransomware attack. Absolute insanity. But that's a drop in the bucket if you look at the cost of what a home would be out in California. And my God, Kelly, that the cost of home has been increasing, not just across the United States, but you look specifically those really blue areas, it seems to be getting more and more expensive. Talk to us about the increasing home costs in Kern County.
So it's just gotten so expensive. Kern County used to be great. You know, like I bought my house in 2013, I think, for like $95,000. And it's gone up quite a bit, but it's the rest of the market's gone up so much faster that I can't ever, I would have never hoped to sell it and move into anything else. So the way that we address those housing issues are by, first off, working on relaxing the local regulations around housing costs. You know, first off, the fees associated specifically, we can waive those to help encourage home building and help flood the market. You know, letting home builders use alternative materials, shipping containers, mini homes, other kinds of things. And then again, unfortunately, in California, the reality is the state sucks. There's not much other way to say it. The state is terrible on this issue. And you mentioned it earlier. It's they've tried to do good. And by trying to do too good, they've made it so much worse than it could ever hope to be. And so it's going to, again, be fighting with the state, like building that coalition of other counties that are willing to say, hey, Governor Newsom, this isn't working. Like, you have to lessen these regulations on the cost of new home building, on the requirements that are driving costs way up, things like solar, you know, on every home now. It's insane. And then they're even trying, but then, so they wanted every home on solar, but now they're also raising the solar connect fee. There was a protest in downtown, actually it's going on right now in downtown LA about it. And it's like, man, they try to get you everywhere they can.
Yeah. Well, and then the question is, how much of it is actually do good policy? And then how much of it is extortion? if we're going to be really not mincing words here, but you do see this, right? This is not unfortunately exclusive to California, especially those blue states. It's gotten very, very, very bad. I saw Philadelphia and I was leaving. They just raised the property tax assessments, and in there's certain areas the assessments went up 30 to 50%. Could you imagine if you were a homeowner and you were on a fixed income trying to pay an increase of 30 to 50% in your home assessments for your property taxes? Absolute insanity. It's not viable, and yet you see, especially, and this is the part that drives me crazy, Kelly. You've had all these blue states who have been able to go out and tout how great their economic prospects were, how much money they had in the bank after all the money they were given over the past 2 years from government and government handouts, and then also with the tax revenue. And now they have the audacity to go out of their way and try to nickel and dime whenever they can when we're facing one of the biggest inflationary crises we've experienced in the past 40 years. And that goes to the next point I want to focus on, and that is the economy, which is not just hitting us, you know, in specific areas. It's across the board, Kern County included. Talk to us about what the impact has been with regards to the inflation, the different issues we've had with supply chain, and of course the continuing effects of the COVID-19 pandemic and government mandates and lockdowns.
Yeah, so Kern County isn't really having any more issues with mandates and lockdowns currently. I do have a lot of voters, a lot of people in the county that are concerned with the governor is going to continue to ramp them up. And there are several bills that have been discussed in both of our levels in the state assembly and the state senate about those things. So there's definitely some fear there. But as far as like the economy, it's still bad. I mean, you know, we've lost so many small businesses. We're losing farms. I mean, the state is hampering our oil production. At a time when we need the oil production the most, they're making it harder to pump oil. It's absolutely insane. So the way that we build that, and then the county government, they have the plan of, let's just recruit large companies to come into the county and open up shop. Of course, then they send those profits back home to wherever they're from. They don't reinvest them locally, but whatever, they don't care. I mean, it looks good on paper, you know, versus where I think we should be making it easier for small businesses to open. Again, we can be relieving fees, right? We can be expanding. We have micro grant programs that'll give people a little bit of money to help them with some of the COVID issues that they've had over the last couple of years. We should expand that to first time entrepreneurs and people who lost their businesses to COVID, and let our small businesses come back. They fill our storefronts, which, I mean, and they employ people. It's like, it's immediately fixes so many more things. It's a faster way to fix the economy. But again, like with oil, I've told people that we're going to have to approach the governor from a position of strength. We just had a lawsuit dismissed that our county filed against the governor. And the problem is it was just us. We should have had every other county that produces oil should have also been on there with that lawsuit. You know, I mean, build some pressure. Like, but they can't do it because everyone in California is so heavily divided politically, so partisan, that, you know, when I go out there and I'm able to talk to everybody, you know, and I think that's the game changers. We need somebody somewhere who can talk to everybody. And so if I make it in, then you have me, Jeff Hewitt, and then I think there's another guy, Brian Kelly, from another county. He's this libertarian. That's three. You know, we can start approaching other counties and start pushing back a little bit on the state.
Yep. Well, and we talk about this in sales, how to eat the elephant one bite at a time. And Kelly, that's what we're doing here in our local elections, in our state elections. We're taking steps one at a time. We're getting there and we're starting to make a difference. And if we want to keep on making a difference, well, rumor is the election is literally just around the corner. We're airing this today on June 2nd. Kelly, next Tuesday, June 7th, you have an election. It is technically a primary, but rumor is that you could actually go ahead and be claimed the next Kern County Board of Supervisors winner. Is that true based on the election results here on Tuesday?
Yeah, so in Kern County, we have an open primary, and it's a top two. So top two finishers go on to the next level. However, for the county specific the county specific seats, if you get 50% plus one, you win the election. So we could have a winner next Tuesday. It could be me. I've done the work. I did the debate. You know, I had plenty of media appearances, you know, but in the end, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the people of Kern County, those that have supported me here locally, as well as amongst the libertarians all over the country that have pitched in. It's about you guys. You know, it doesn't matter if I win or lose. What matters is that we push liberty forward. And that's what I'm hoping to do.
So at the end of the day, Kelly, I think your average person is waking up or seeing this. And I always talk about the average person. I'm sure the audience is saying, Brian, we get it. But I think we have to revert back to who is it we're speaking to. We're not speaking to select target groups of people. We're not going after hyper partisan groups of people. We're going after, at the end of the day, your average person. And that's exactly who we need to make sure we're focusing on. And I think that's exactly the beauty of your campaign. You are going out and you are quite literally speaking to your average person. And guess what? That matters. That means something to those people. So I appreciate you for doing that, Kelly. And do us a favor. We want folks to be able to go ahead and support the campaign. Yes, June 7th is the election, but where can folks go learn more about you? They want to dig into more about your platform. And of course, I know it's towards the end of the election here. You're not going to like it, but the sales guy in me won't let me not do it. If they want to go ahead and support your campaign financially, where can they go ahead and do that?
You go to the website. It's www.cardinforkern.com. I'm www.cardinforkern.com. You can go on there. There's a whole bunch of information. You can send me emails. There's pictures. There's other media appearances that I've had. I believe the debate is posted there. Watch it. If you're a libertarian candidate and you've not had a debate yet, and you want to see how you can shake the right, at the very least, the Republicans, go watch that debate. I mean, I really thought I did a great job. I was a little underdressed. I brought a suit coat, but it was too hot. I wasn't going to do that to myself.
So, don't do that to yourself. Too hot.
You know, I would have been so uncomfortable that it wouldn't have made sense. You know, I mean, I was sweating bullets as it was. And so I've had some hate on that. People say, well, you got to wear a suit. I wanted to. I was dying.
Be your authentic self. And that's one thing too people really appreciate, Kelly. Like, frankly, watching you in the debate, you were different. And in this case, in a really good way, right? Like, you weren't the traditional stuffy suit and tie. You were quite apparently an outsider in the best of ways.
Yeah. And that's what people want. You know, if nothing else, I mean, the same thing over and over. Well, we don't, regardless of what they've thought about me, it's, well, we don't like the other guy, you know? So, and then they want to ask questions, and they're already looking for something else. I mean, people are so tired of the same old, same old. They're ready for new things, and we need to make sure that we're running amazing libertarian candidates across the country. If you're listening, guys, my pitch isn't anything about me. If you can be the change that you want to see. So look into what's happening. Look into the offices that are being announced in the next month over all over the country, school boards, city councils, things like that. Guys, run for these things. A lot of them go unseated. If you live in a larger city, run for your neighborhood councils. They go unseated almost all the time. Guys, this is the chance for us to take over, and we can do it by winning elections.
We can do it by winning elections. We're going to do it by winning hearts and minds.
Yeah.
And here's the best part. It's already happening. So we're going to keep it from happening. No, we're going to keep it happening. Sure. And what we're going to do is, first and foremost, direct folks to BrianNicholsShow.com. If you have not had the chance yet, folks, please head over there, because what are we doing here? Instead of focusing on winning arguments, we're doing what? We're teaching the basic fundamentals of sales and marketing and how we can use them to win in the world of politics. So if you want to go ahead and check out all 500 plus episodes of the Brian Nichols Show, we actually just had a great episode here yesterday, episode 514, Policing Bodies, Law, Sex, Work, and Desire in Johannesburg with India Tusi. Great conversation there. I'll make sure I include that video in the show notes. And for folks who are interested in learning more about Kelly's campaign there over for Kern County Board of Supervisors, we'll make sure we include all those links in the show notes for you audio listener. All you got to do, click the link there at your podcast catcher. It'll bring you to BrianNicholsShow.com, where you can check, yes, all of today's episode. Plus, you can find the entire transcript from today's episode. And as I mentioned, all of Kelly's important social media links. And I'll make sure I include the donation link, too. And also, folks, if you want to go ahead and share the episode, I would not be opposed to that. I'm sure Kelly would not be opposed to that either. Make sure you go ahead and give him a tag. And please go ahead and give yours truly a tag as well. At B Nichols Liberty. Now, I mentioned it back a second ago, India Tusi, she joined us on the program yesterday. You can find that episode right here below me. I'll make sure I include that for the video watcher here on YouTube. And again, for you audio listener, you're missing out if you haven't checked out our YouTube channel yet. Head over to BrianNicholsShow.com. The link there for the YouTube is available. Click it, hit that magic subscribe button, and of course, make sure you hit that bell so you're not missing a single episode every time we go live. So, with that being said, it's Brian Nichols signing off. You're on the Brian Nichols Show for Kelly Cardin. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Nichols Show. Find more episodes at BrianNicholsShow.com.
Enjoying the audio version of the show? Then you'll love our YouTube channel. Be sure to head over there and subscribe. And if you're new to the Brian Nichols Show, be sure to head to your favorite podcast catcher and click download all unplayed episodes so you don't miss one of our nearly 500 episodes that will be sure to leave you educated, enlightened, and informed. If you got value from today's episode, can you do me a favor and head to BrianNicholsShow.com/support and leave us a $5 donation? And by the way, have you given the show a 5-star review yet? If not, head to Apple Podcasts and tell folks why you listen to the program, and don't forget to tell your friends to subscribe too. Follow me on social media at B Nichols Liberty. And again, if you'd be so kind, please consider making a donation to the Brian Nichols Show at BrianNicholsShow.com/support. The Brian Nichols Show is supported by viewers like you. Thank you to our patrons, Daryl Schmitz, Michael Lima, Mitchell Mankiewicz, Hody Johns, Craig DaCosta, and the We Are Libertarians Network. Faced with an uncertain future, many business owners and technology professionals don't have the time needed to invest in their business technology strategies. And as a result, they're afraid of their technology getting outdated and putting their company and customers' information at risk. The digital future is already here, but with all different choices in the marketplace, it's difficult to know which one will be the best fit for you and your strategic vision. Imagine having the peace of mind that your business is backed by the right technology investments that are tailored for your specific need. Hi, I'm Brian Nichols, and I've helped countless business owners and technology professionals just like you, helping you make informed decisions about what technologies are best to invest in for your business. Voice, bandwidth, cybersecurity, business continuity, juggling all the aspects of business technology is messy. Let me help. Head to BrianNicholsShow.com/help and sign up for a free one-on-one consultation with yours truly to dig deep into where you see your company heading and how we can align your business technology towards those goals. Again, that's BrianNicholsShow.com/help to get your simplified business technology started today.